Choosing an energy company raises many questions. Constellation can answer all of them with energy solutions that fit your needs. Energy made efficient, simple, insightful, and flexible. That's what makes Constellation America's energy choice. Learn more at constellation.com/energy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, Coach Keith Howard. It's the fall. There is nip in the air, and that means that the air is thick and full of football. Pee-wee, little league, ankle biter football, JV football, high school football, college football, big school, little school, HBCU, D3, what have you. And then, of course, Sunday and Monday, the big boys play, the professionals play, the National Football League. Not for long. Not for long for some like Mike McCoy already, who's out as offensive coordinator, Arizona Cardinals. No big surprise there. Hey, we got a good show today. We've got, first of all, we got a good guy coming in, Tony Kennedy. Met Tony and during what is now called the Military Bowl, and Tony and I were trying to get a bowl of our own, and so we learned a lot about the bowl game. And I can remember seeing him at the GMAC Bowl where he was just doing research. This guy's really committed to the craft. So he has started his own bowl. He's got two of them, the Capital Bowl and the Crab Bowl, and he's going to tell you all about both of those. But more importantly, he's going to tell you about the Harity Race. He's a Virginia Tech guy. He's a Bladensburg High School guy. And he just ran in a 5K. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal? He just ran in a 5K. No big deal. Well, I'll let Tony tell you why it's a really big deal that he just ran a 5K. And it's good stuff. So, we can get right into our pay attention topics. Of course, in the second half of the show after Tony, we'll have our Redskin roundup. We'll talk all things Redskins to include the big Sunday afternoon tilt with the Dallas Cowboys. I guess this game is still a rivalry. I don't know. I don't feel it like it used to be at old RFK when the stadium shook. The cast of characters, Redskins wearing fatigues the week before. Don't feel that anymore, but you know, we'll see what happens. And, of course, we'll wind down with predictions. And not doing too bad with predictions. We've got a few games to call this week. Still working on getting some betting guys in here because I really think that's where sports is going to go down the road between the internet and online gambling. I think you'll be able to bet on anything. You know, what pants are the Redskins going to wear tomorrow? Which, by the way, I'll put a 50-cent wager out there right now that they're going to wear yellow pants tomorrow. I'm just saying. So, anyway, let's look at our pay attention topics. For those of you who are new listeners, our pay attention topic, just those kind of off the beaten trail stories that, we've either already talked about or we see that it's going to happen in the future, and it's something that you should pay attention to. First one is this one, and I'm talking to you, LeBron, and I'm talking to Jenny Buss, really. Jenny, if you want me to come in and speak to the Lakers as part of your Genius series, I'm all in. But right now, you have Kendrick Lamar. And, you know, Kendrick's the only one who won, only rapper that I'm aware of, who ever won a Pulitzer for music. So I think they got the right guy. He spoke to the Lakers, led by LeBron, the other night after they had just lost their season opener to the Portland Trail Blazers. And I thought what he talked about was very, very interesting. And it sounded very Coach Howard-esque. He talked about sacrificing and how he, you know, can see that album will be done in 6 months. And so now he can't go and maybe do the things he wants to do because he's got to prepare for 6 months down the road. And so basically what he was telling the team, and it's a very young team, this Laker team, is, hey, you've got to start preparing. You can't start, you know, practicing free throw shooting now that we're in season. You should have done that 6 months ago, right? So it's all about sacrifice. And I think that's a great message. The other thing he talked about was preparation. You have to prepare. You know, going willy-nilly and on the fly and this and that, it's doable. But the best way to do it, where you have the most wins or outcome of winning, is through preparation. And one of the things I've watched coaches do, and I can only speak to Mike Godfrey. I did not work with Joe Gibbs, but Joe Gibbs was meticulous about his preparation. So if the game was over on Sunday, he would have dinner, sleep, and wake up at 4 in the morning and be ready to go for the next opponent. He also would have people working behind the scenes to gather film so that now when he's ready to watch that film, it's already cut up and ready to go. There's no loss in time. Those things are preparation. So, you know, when you sacrifice and you prepare, usually you will win. Then there's some things that are out of your control. And it doesn't matter how much you sacrifice and how much you prepare. If you're not called to do it at that time, then it won't happen. But that doesn't mean you lost, because to me the win is still that, hey, I prepared, I sacrificed, and I will win the next game or the next whatever it is in life. So the last thing that he talked about with the Lakers was releasing negativity. And so basically what he talked about there was, you know, hey, if you're on a losing streak, this, that, and the other, you know, you got to start talking about what it feels like to win. What does it look like? And I can tell you all these things are things that they're common sense things, but it's always good to be reminded of them. And so it made me feel proud that I've said some of these things before. So at least I know I'm on the right track. So even if I didn't win yesterday's game, I know I'm on the right track for winning because I'm attempting to do these things right here. So kudos to him. I mean, last year they brought in some great people. Elon Musk, you know, the owner of Tesla, came in and talked to the Lakers. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, came in and talked to the Lakers. And track star Allyson Felix. I mean, these are people at the top of their game in what they do. They are the best that they can be in their particular industry. So, you know, kudos to them. Just a couple other highlights that Kendrick talked about was, you know, holding each other accountable, holding your teammate accountable. That's a big deal. And some people, they either don't do it or they fear doing it or they don't know how to do it. But when you're holding your teammate accountable, you're really being a good teammate. And while I wasn't in the locker room when Kendrick spoke, you know, I kind of know that that's what the good teammates do. They hold their teammate accountable. When they don't, they're really not being a good teammate themselves, but yet expect the same. They expect to win the game. So, for example, you know, I think about the Redskins, and, you know, I know that Alex Smith is kind of a cool cucumber, and Kirk Cousins, you know, for the most part was too, but someone should be saying to the offensive line, hey, guys, the more you open up these holes or you give me a little bit more time, I'll throw the touchdown, right? So, basically, you're winning together. And so, you know, holding your teammate accountable is a really, really big deal. The other thing that he mentioned was, you know, that you're part of a team and it's one team. So it's not just, you know, LeBron and the Miracles. It's not. It's a 12-man roster. LeBron may be the most celebrated basketball player on the team, but he is not the team. The team consists of LeBron and Lonzo Ball and 10 other guys. Who are going to help them win basketball games. The team is bigger with the coaches and the coaching staff, the front office staff, right down to the usher who tears the tickets. So it's one team. And Kendrick Lamar talked about that you know, when he wins a Grammy or a Pulitzer or whatever. It was really his team that, I mean, they had just as much to do with it as he did, you know. So interesting little thing. It's called the Genius Series. Jenny Buss, if you're listening, I'd be the perfect guy to do that. So reach out to me, coach@extrapointsllc.com. Jenny Buss, that's funny. Yeah, right. What if I actually saw an email from Jenny Buss? That'd be like winning a lottery, the Mega Millions, if I saw that. So we'll see what happens. Pay attention, topic number two, game day. College football game day with Reese and Desmond and the Bear and everybody's in Pullman, Washington. Washington State, they haven't been there since 2011. But Pullman, people don't notice about the Cougars. They have a huge tradition and passion for football. You want to talk about all the pageantry of football, you get it in Pullman, Washington. Usually the game against the University of Washington is their big game. But they are ranked 25th in the country. They're 5-1, 2-1 in the Pac-12, and they got a big one against number 12, Oregon. So, you know, it was funny that it was this week, and everyone knows Mike Leach, their head football coach, is way out there. I mean, Mike Leach is – he'll say and do anything. Well, Leach, he said and did anything to Pac-12 officials this week by basically saying that Pac-12 officials don't care about player safety and that they manipulate wins and losses. I mean, these are hard, hard charges. Coach Leach, I know you're out there and you just kind of shoot off your mouth. I think you shot off your mouth at the wrong time this week playing Oregon. I know you're at home. I don't think you're going to get any home cooking. Keep your mouth shut. Pay attention, topic number three. This game sounds like, why do I care? 1-6 O'Connell, right here in Northern Virginia, ranked 8,294th in the country, versus 1-6 Bishop Ireton, ranked 9,785th in the country. Why is this game big? Who cares? Well, I'll tell you why it's big. I was at Ireton for the last 2 years, and I learned that their rival is O'Connell. So you go, oh, well, no big deal. It's just another rivalry game. Not so fast. It's a rivalry game, but it's a rivalry game of two teams who – aren't going anywhere. You know, they're trying to just stay in the top 10,000 in high school football rankings. But it's a big deal because the former head coach is now the offensive coordinator, the former head coach of Bishop Ireton. Now the former head coach is moved over and is the current offensive coordinator at O'Connell. That former head coach's defensive coordinator was elevated to head coach. It'll be interesting on the 50-yard line right before kickoff to see what kind of handshake will take place. So if you're looking for some high school football on a nippy fall day, maybe that's the game to go to. Two very bad teams, but one very good storyline. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, let us go to our pay attention topic for this week. Let me hit the button. Pay attention topic for this week, one-loss teams. One-loss teams fighting for that playoff spot in college football. Let me tell you who they are. And they are a who's who of college football. Michigan in old khaki pants. They got a shot at this thing. Now, of course, they're going to have to go through Ohio State to get it done, but they got a shot. They got a tough one today against Michigan State. In you know, what some would call the Big Brother Bowl, because everyone knows that the five-star kids go to Michigan and the four-star kids go to Michigan State. But D'Antonio, great coach, great win last week over Penn State. I don't know who I'm going to pick in that one. We'll do that later in predictions, but I think that's going to be a good one. So Michigan is in it. They're in it. UGA, one loss in between the hedges. Bad loss, blowout, again, at home, in between the hedges, not a good place. That's not a good look. And they're in the SEC. They're not going to play for the SEC championship. I think their chances are slim. Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma, You know what? I think that Oklahoma cannot bounce back from that loss to Texas. Again, they let Texas run up a ton of points. Kyler Murray's putting all types of great numbers up. I just see them as an offensive juggernaut, and that's it. Florida. Now, this is a team I like. I like Florida because they've kind of come under the radar, but again, they're in the SEC. Unless Alabama trips up, which could be today at Rocky Top, we'll talk about that in predictions, could be today, I think that Florida's not gonna get a chance to get in there either. LSU, they have their one loss, but they got a signature win last week. LSU's going to have to go through Alabama as well. I don't see that happening, so I don't think they get in. Texas, nah, you lost to Maryland. Enough said. Iowa, who plays Maryland today. You know, Iowa's got a shot, but Iowa's so vanilla and so plain Jane and so just not – they're just not that sports car look. They're just not – I don't see Iowa doing it. Here's the team I see that could squeeze in there. Oregon. Quack, quack. They're ranked 12th right now. They're in the Pac-12. They're 5-1. I think they can get in there, but they're going to have to figure out a way. Washington's going to have to lose a game. If Washington gets a second loss and Oregon squeaks in and wins the Pac-12, I think Oregon could squeak in there and win this thing. I do. And maybe they're fifth. I don't know. It'd be a shame. So we'll see. So we're going to talk more college football next week in a little more detail. But I just wanted to tease you a little bit and get you thinking about who in the world can be that team out of the one-loss guys who could get into the playoffs and get a chance at Alabama and Clemson and this and that. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break, play some Chuck music. I see he's already on. He's already waiting. And I can tell you right now, this guy can go. Tony Kennedy works harder than anybody I know. So he loves the kids of the DMV, and he works tirelessly for them. And like I said, he just ran a 5K. Now you're going to go, what's the big deal? Anybody can run a 5K. I'm going to let him tell you why it was such a big deal that he ran this 5K. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck, we do need money. Absolutely. Mega Million, $1 billion. $1 billion. I told you at the onset of the show, we had a good show today because we got a good guy as a guest. We got a good guy who's got an even greater story. Tony Kennedy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There he is. We hear you loud and clear, man, and it's good to hear it. It's so good to hear you. Now, I let folks know early in the show, hey, he's a Bladensburg guy. La Tech guy, running back, I think. What was your number, 33? Was that your number?
33 for life.
33 for life, that's right. And I'm flipping through a magazine at work. Somebody brought in an old Sporting News magazine. And I opened it up, and it went right to a page that said players to watch Tony Kennedy, running back. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's my man, that's Tony Kennedy. So I'm sitting there going, you know what? I got to reconnect with him, and I reconnected with you, and you told me what your story was, and I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. You will. But you were, you know, we were talking about the Crab Bowl, and I want to talk about that. The Capitol Bowl, and those are great stories. But this Harity race was a big deal for you. Let our listening audience know why this was such a big deal.
Well, it's a big deal because on Super Bowl Saturday, I'm working with Tom Lemon, which is the guy who created the Blind Side. He comes out. He's the guy who started all this football recruiting stuff. He's for 40 years.
Yeah.
So we're with 30 of the best players in DMV, and we're taking pictures at DeMatha High School February 3rd, 2018, day before the Super Bowl. So we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden I just fall ill. So I sit out there for about 10, 15 minutes. A parent brings me water, and then the head coach, Elijah Brooks of DeMatha, he looks at me, and I'm sitting outside, and it's like 30-something degrees. And he looked at me and said, man, I'm calling the ambulance. And they came, and they came, and they took care of me, and they put me in the ambulance. They took my thing. They took me to doctor's hospital. Doctor then informs me that you're having a heart attack right now, and that he's already called the chopper and the helicopter in. And me being so crazy, I looked at him and said, really? I got to get in the helicopter? And, you know, the heart attack stuff just went over my head. I mean, because you're thinking, that's impossible. How could I be having a heart attack? Ex-athlete, you in pretty good shape. But, you know, 4 days later, you know, they cracked my chest open and perform a quadruple bypass. And the rest is history. 8 months later, I'm running a race, a 5K race, and I finish in 35 minutes, which, you know, my goal was anywhere between 31 and 33 minutes. So I got to do a little bit better next time.
I got to do a little bit better next time. That's unbelievable, man. I mean, what a story. And I guess, you know, when I think about when I met you, you know, when I met you, you couldn't slow down then, and you would have said then, oh, I got to do better. And I remember that, you know, you were determined to get this showcase and this platform for young people through a game. So now I got to ask you now, you know, with the health setback, it seems like it was a setup because you've now run a 5K. And are the games still on and going? And what's the story on that?
As long as I have breath in my lungs, it will always go on. Remember when I started, you know, 10, 11 years ago, the DMV is a basketball area. You're never going to do football. It's never going to be big. And just a whole lot of things. But, well, we wake up today, the leading Heisman candidate is a guy named Dwayne Haskins, who's from here. All the top teams, well, we have two teams in the top four from here in the entire nation. So, I mean, all the work that we've put in that, you know, I put in too for the Crab Bowl and now I started the Capitol Bowl. I mean, that work, you know, I knew. I mean, some people aren't visionaries and, you know, I mean, I have things that are bad, but I'm a visionary. And I knew that from knowing all the athletes that come through here, that we never got credit for football, and it is a football area.
Well, it is a football area, and if you just look around, I mean, you know, there are a lot of Vo-Tech alum around here. I know you're one of them. And, you know, but when I think about the Virginia alum and the Maryland alum, and, you know, Maryland wasn't always bad at football. I mean, Maryland's got a proud tradition as well when I think about some of the past guys. So now what do you say now? Because you're around youngsters. I mean, you've got a really different message for them now, I would believe. I know – your former message, I would think, was, hey, start now, get your training, do your homework, this and that, so you can be recruited to go to a D1 school. But I guess after what has happened to you, where here you are an able-bodied man, former athlete, who has a heart attack, and in months runs a 5K, I mean, you got a whole new message for these young kids now.
Well, one, the first message that we're going to get out is we're going to find funding so that we can properly get these physicals for all our athletes. We're going to start with football. I believe, you know, my condition I've had for years, I believe that, you know, I was probably passed along and they never really looked at it. We don't need that to happen to anyone's child. And what we need to do is start a campaign to make sure that when the kid gets a physical, that they get a real physical and that they look for everything, because your heart is the main thing. I mean, you know, it's humid here. It's very hot here, especially in the months for football. And we need to make sure that we, our athletes are ready. Are able to do what we're asking them to do. And we need to have the real staffs and people who are paid to do this for a living to make sure that that parent's child is able, you know, able to do what they're going to ask them to do, because you can't play around when you're dealing with the heart and you're dealing with stuff like that. And you know, maybe, you know, before technology, maybe I would have passed away, but I'm here, and I was saved for a reason, and my reason now is I'm going to get out here through the Hokies Heart Group, you know, and we're going to get out here, and we're going to try to make sure we find funding and try to get better physicals for all our student-athletes.
Man, you know, it's funny, and you're listening to Tony Kennedy. We're on the Extra Points radio show. It's funny because I remember being a high school head coach and sending my kid to this one doctor in town, $15. I don't think he ever stopped eating his sandwich. I mean, he literally was sitting there eating a sandwich. Kids come in. Does your neck feel funny? No. Oh, that kid's healthy. I mean, that's basically how I was, right? So mm-hmm. I'm glad you're getting that word out. Now, tell us about the games themselves. You know, how can people find out more information about the games, get involved, that sort of thing?
Well, we're heavily on Facebook and Twitter. MD Crab Bowl on Twitter, Capital Bowl on Twitter, and then on Facebook it's MD Crab Bowl and it's Capital Bowl. What we're doing, we just, you know, we've taken the state of Maryland, of course, for the Crab Bowl, and we've broken it in two different areas for the 12th graders, and you know, it's an all star game for the state of Maryland, but we kept getting people that would just complain from D.C. and Northern Virginia. So that's why we created the Capital Bowl for the seniors. So it was D.C. versus Northern Virginia. And last year was the first year. It was a pretty decent game. But what we've added now is for the entire DMV, our 9th, 10th, and 11th grade game, which is a showcase. You can't call it a game. It's called a showcase, underclassmen showcase. And this will maximize the kids' chances of getting recruited, because you know the recruiters come out very, very early. The recruiters come out very, very early for these kids, and a lot of kids are playing out of positions per high school, and that's fine. I mean, because you got to do what you have to do to help your high school win, but you're probably playing out of position in order to get recruited, and you need that film. So what we've done is create a game with a third state behind Georgia and Texas. We're the third state, you know, the third area to do this. And now we're doing a weekend of nothing but 9th, 10th, and 11th grade games where they will be filmed and sent off to colleges so these kids can get their better looks.
Wow, that yep. I'm loving that. I definitely got to try, and I am going to look for you on Facebook and Twitter for both games. Because I want to try and get involved in some way, shape, or form. I've hung up my whistle, so I can't coach. Well, I could coach. But I definitely want to see if Extra Points in the podcast can help out in some way. Tony, man, I'm telling you what, I was looking forward to this call because it was more than just an interview, but it's an opportunity to hear a friend's voice again. And I guess, you know, all I can say to you is I know you're not going to slow down. I know you're going to shave those 2 minutes off of that time. So are you training for the next race?
Well, actually, what I'm doing now is I'm just trying to fight the odds again. I realize I've lost like 35 pounds, and I'm actually down to my classmates. It's our 30th anniversary, our 30th reunion, and when they saw the pictures of me, and they nicknamed me Benjamin Button. So I got to live up to the Benjamin Button part. I turned 49 doing the combine. And so my goal is now is to try to run a 4.99 when I turn 49.
Man, that is all good stuff, man. I'm fired up just listening to that. That's all good stuff, man. Hey, look, you're a friend of the show. You've been on the show before. You were on the show when it was early on, and I want to thank you for that. But, man, since I've known you, you've been a good sounding board, as well as you've called me for advice. And I think that's what true friendships are all about. So I'm just glad to hear your voice, man. Much success, of course, in your game going forward. And don't be a stranger. Reach back out to us down the road.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. And good luck with your show.
Very good. Tony Kennedy is he's the guy. I mean, that unbelievable story. Just one of the good guys around the Beltway. You know, he's honest with the kids. That's what I like. The kids trust him. The parents trust him. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's hard to find in today's athletics. So kudos to him and keep up the good work. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk all things Redskins. To include whether or not they beat the dreaded and daunted Dallas Cowboys tomorrow, kickoff 4:25. Why is it 4:25? Why can't it be 4 o'clock? I don't know why they do that. But anyway, we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. I need $2 because $2 can make you a billionaire. Can you believe this thing? $2. I'm looking at, you know, people are like getting these office pools now and buying, you know, thousands of dollars of tickets to try and win, and then they're out of the money. I mean, it's, but I guess if you get enough people involved, and I mean, it's worth it because $1 billion, there's a lot to go around. So, hey, we want to thank Tony Kennedy for joining us, too. Again, great guy. Crab Bowl, Capital Bowl, you know, check it out. Now, I didn't tease him about being a VaTech guy, and I should have done that because he and I have got this little rivalry thing. So his coach is Frank Beamer, and my coach was Mike Godfrey. So Godfrey hired Beamer. So I always tell Tony, you know, hey, you know, the Pitt's better than VaTech. Well, not so fast. I mean, if you look at the number of bowl games Vatek's gone to in the last couple of years. But for some reason, Pitt always seems to beat them and ruin their years. So I'm going to have to get him on the next time on the Virginia Tech. And then, of course, he went to Bladensburg High School. And I went to Crossland. And those schools kind of were down for a while, and both are trying to get themselves back up. So I have to get him on that one as well. But let's go to where the big boys play in the Washington Redskins. It was funny. I was watching a game, college game last night, and they were talking about Mark Rippon, former Super Bowl champion quarterback for the Redskins. His nephew, Brett Rippon, is the starting quarterback at Boise State. And the announcer for ESPN did not want to say Redskins. So he continued to say Mark Rippon from the Washington Football Club. So, you know, I mean, and that's okay. That's fine. That's his prerogative. But, you know, just to be PC, football club means soccer. So somebody might want to let him know that Washington's football club is the D.C. United. So just FYI, this guy has a job with ESPN, but I digress. So let's look at the Redskins and their offense some concerns. The offensive line, we know, a little bit banged up. So Sean LaValle's out. I don't think that's a big, big deal that Sean LaValle's out. Bergstrom has held his own at center. So that's, you know, that's pretty good. But they still don't really go downfield. Now, Crowder's out again. So you really don't have a slot receiver. There's no deep threat. Richardson, I think, is game day decision, or he's in. I don't quite recall. But that, at the end of the day, everyone knows this. Jordan Reed is the only real offensive weapon in through the air that they have. And he just doesn't get enough targets. When I look at guys like Gronk and Kelsey and guys like that, even Antonio Gates with the Chargers, they get 6, 7, 8, 10 balls thrown their way. You know, Jordan Reed gets 3 in a game. He's lucky. So, you know, I never think about force feeding a player. But what I do think you can do as a coach is scheme for a player. Scheme so that the player's open. Move the player around. Let him go play wide out. Let him play in the slot. Put his hand in the dirt and let him go from the tight end, the traditional tight end spot. Heck, if you have to, put him at running back and motion him out if you have to do that. You know, but get him the ball. Now, here's the other thing that you got to be concerned about is at running back, you're not going to win an NFL game with Capri Bibbs as your main guy. So, you know, I mean, Peterson he gutted it out last week. I mean, he's tough as nails. He's just putting some real shine on his Hall of Fame jacket. But he's still injured. You know, he's hurt. I'm sorry. He's not injured. He's hurt. And so I don't know how long he can go. And I don't think there's any answer in the running game. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Alex Smith run the ball a little bit more. So here's what I'm going to say they need to win tomorrow. They need Alex Smith to rush for at least 25 yards. Mark that down now. If he doesn't rush for 25 yards, they don't win the game. You heard it here first. If he does, they win the game. Mark that down. Mark that down all day, every day. If Alex Smith can get a couple, run the option plays that he's comfortable with. You know, now that you can do with Capri Bibbs. You can do that. So go ahead and do that. So I think that that's one way that on offense, because they're going to have to, with no Crowder and really no receivers, I don't know what Dotson, Dotson's on the field, but nobody cares. So, by the way, don't forget the Cowboys, top 10 in passing yardage given up. They are stingy about giving up passing yards. So it's going to be stuff. If you can get 75, 65 yards from AP, or is it AD? We still haven't figured that out yet. And Alex Smith can, you know, get a chunk run here and there and get his 25 yards rushing, I think the Skins got a chance. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Now on defense, you know, everybody's, you know, oh, wow, the defense is much improved. And the Alabama boys are getting to the quarterback and this and that. Not so fast, I don't think so. I know Norman got a pick last week. I wasn't impressed with that. I'm not impressed with him either. And, oh, by the way, he doesn't do very well with receivers that are bad. Well, guess what? Tomorrow they're playing a team with receivers that are bad. So I think they're going to struggle. Let's start with the D-line. I think the Alabama boys will have their hands tied with Ezekiel Elliott because the Cowboys are not going to just stop trying to feed Elliott. They will continue that first quarter, second, third, fourth. They're going to give him the ball. He'll get 100 yards on the Redskins. That's going to happen. They're going to force feed that. The Skins know it's coming, and I don't think they can stop it. Let's not forget this offensive line still has 3 Pro Bowlers on it. Let us not forget. So the Alabama boys have 0 Pro Bowls because they haven't played long enough. I'm also worried about Ryan Kerrigan, who has been missing in action all season. I believe he has 1 sack and maybe 5 tackles, maybe. So I don't see Ryan Kerrigan being a factor tomorrow. Now, Witten's gone. I think that helps the Redskins big time. Oh, my goodness. He used to just destroy the Redskins on third down. So he's gone. But once again, this defense does a horrible job of taking a no-name player. Now, I don't know the guy's name, but there's a tight end. He played basketball. Watch this guy who's a no-name guy catch passes. So here's the statistic. If their tight end catches more passes than our tight end, they win the game. There is no way in the world that their no-name tight end, who none of us know, should catch more passes than arguably a Pro Bowler in Jordan Reed. So watch that stat tomorrow. Let's see what happens with that stat. Now, I still think Josh Norman is not out of the woods. I understand that there was a defensive backs meeting called to hash some things out, da-da-da-da-da. Here's who they got. They got DJ Swearinger, who's already been cut by two teams or let go in free agency by two teams. So this is his third team, and I think he's 26. You've got Monte Nicholson, who's only in his second year. Michigan State guy, good player, but he's only in his second year. Then you've got Norman, who is ripping the Redskins off with the $17 million per year and has done nothing. So, and then you've got Quentin Dunbar, who played wide receiver in college, undrafted free agent, was a wide receiver for the Redskins until they figured out he couldn't catch, and they moved him to DB. That's what you got in the secondary against Dak and some unknown receivers. So here's what I think happens. The unknown receivers win that battle. I think Dak is going to outrush Alex Smith, and he showed it last week that he's willing to run the ball. So he's gone back to old Dak, which is I'm going to run the football. I'm not going to try and force it into these receivers who can't get separation. The windows are too small. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tuck it and go. I think that's going to be a problem for the Redskins. Flip over to the special team side. Now, I can tell you, Skins kicker, great season so far. Tress Wade, the punter, absolutely great season, Pro Bowl season. But they don't have Crowder return punts. And our guy Stroman from Vatek has done nothing in the return game. They're going to need these yards in the return game to make up for the fact that they have no receivers. And I don't think they do it. Now, what I also hope is that they don't have anything like this. There can't be a snap over the head. There can't be a muffed return. Any of that happens, they're losing the game. The Skins cannot, they have to make sure that they cleanly catch every kick and that their snap exchanges are perfect. Because it is those type of things that will take this supposedly FedEx crowd and turn it into a Cowboy crowd, which it's already going to be, because it's going to be too cold for DC people. So only the diehard Cowboy fans will be out there in the first place, and it'll seem like a home game for them. You know, I'm going to say what my ultimate prediction is in the next segment, in the prediction segment. But one thing to close out this segment is coaching. So these two coaches are on the hot seat. Both of them got huge wins last week to cool things off a little bit. But I can tell you, they're going to get right back on the hot seat, the loser of this game. It's almost like Wilkes, Coach Wilkes over at the Cardinals, he said, the loser of this game, someone's going to be fired. And I think he was talking about either himself or Vance Joseph, but what ended up happening was he fired Mike McCoy, the Cardinals offensive coordinator, which, by the way, was replaced by local D.C. guy, Byron Leftwich. I thought that was intriguing. You know, I always talk on the show about, you know, black coaches getting an opportunity, and I think they're few and far between. Byron Leftwich is getting an opportunity. And kudos to Coach Wilkes. But I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned about that selection. Here's why. Well, first of all, he is a former number one draft pick, talking about Byron Leftwich. He is an overall number one pick. Never quite made it as a starter. So a journeyman backup, four or five different teams. So he's seen a lot of different offenses. That's great. But, you know, when you think about it, how much coaching experience does he have? It's a big difference between actually getting a position player ready to perform and coordinating an entire offense. Well, that's what he's doing this week. Now, Josh Rosen, young guy. Now he's not going to get his mechanics. No one's going to be looking at those because now they don't have a quarterback's coach. They have a quarterback's coach / offensive coordinator and a very inexperienced one. So, Coach Wilkes, I don't know. I appreciate you, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope Arizona goes out and scores 40 points. I see them scoring like 10 points. Now, the good news is they've got time, right? They played Thursday night, so they don't play again until next Sunday. So they've got time. So maybe he's picked the right guy. I don't know. But I can tell you this, when you pick the wrong guy, then your home field advantage goes away. And that's what's going to happen to the Redskins tomorrow because they picked the wrong guy. I've said it once. I've said it a million times on this show. They'll be making a coaching change at the end of the year, and the heat gets turned back up tomorrow. So that's our Redskin Roundup segment. When we get back, we're going to talk some predictions here. I've already made a bunch of them just now, didn't I? But we'll talk a little college football, a little NFL, and get our predictions. So, you know, if you want to win some money going with Coach Howard's predictions versus the Mega Millions, I don't know, you may have a better shot at the Mega Millions. I don't know, but we'll be right back, and we'll see what happens on the Extra Points Radio Show. I still can't get over $1 billion. I just can't get over that. I mean, man, what do you do with that? I can tell you what, could I buy the Redskins with $1 billion? Because if I could, I'd be making some changes, if you know what I mean. So let's look at our predictions here. Let's start at the high school level. And, again, you heard me talk about in the pay attention topic, you heard me talk about this game between a team that's ranked, you know, 8,000 and something, in the nation versus a team that's ranked 9,000 and something. And that's the Ireton O'Connell game out at O'Connell High School. Bishop Dennis J. O'Connell, to be exact. You know what? Interesting game. I know both teams really well. I've scouted O'Connell for the last two seasons and gone against them. And I also went against O'Connell back in the day when I was coaching at McNamara. So I think I know them pretty well, but also know this Ireton team. And not a lot of firepower there either. So I tell you what, I think O'Connell gets jacked way up for this one. I think O'Connell probably has an edge because I just think that they'll want to win more for their coach than the Ireton players will want to win for their coach. And so there you go. So I got O'Connell winning that one. Here's the score, 5-3. That's right, two field goals and a safety, 5-3. Don't look for any offense in that one. All right, Iowa Hawkeyes, you know, Kirk Ferentz always rumored to go to the NFL, not going to happen. What a great coach. And runs, I mean, he's an NFL coach, but he just will not leave Iowa. I get it. I ain't mad at him. And they go up against Maryland. And everybody knows how I feel about Maryland. The report's supposed to come out shortly, I think next week. And early reports are that the athletic department is a complete mess. And with that being said, I think some heads should roll. I do not think this coach should be – he should have been terminated already. I've said that many times. I'm calling for it. Someone died. And I just don't understand how laissez-faire we are with this. You know, he's still getting paid. This family's grieving. And we don't know what could have happened to Jordan McNair in his career. Maybe he just plays college football graduates, and you know, maybe he's the best manager at the local Whole Foods. I don't know. But I can tell you this, he's a human being and should have been and needed to have been treated with better care than what they provided. I cannot wait for this report to come out. And every time I talk about Maryland football, I get fired up. It's well documented. My daughter's there as a student. I'm going to be out at Maryland for the Michigan State game, and I'm going to talk about them again that morning. And then hope a student stops me and says, I heard you. But here's the thing. Back to this game, Iowa and Maryland. One thing I will say about this Maryland team, Matt Canada, former offensive coordinator at the University of Pittsburgh, then he went to LSU. Is this guy grooming to be the head coach? They have a winning record. You know, they wear fancy uniforms, but they also lose today. They lose today to a team that does it the right way. They're professionals. They're buttoned up. Everyone knows when you play Iowa, you're going to go up against big boys. It's big boy football. It's two tight ends, one back, smash mouth. It's nothing fancy. And I think that Maryland will struggle with that. I do. And I got Iowa winning that game. Not only am I rooting for Iowa, but I know football-wise, they're just better than Maryland. Iowa wins that game. Maryland, if I'm wrong, call me. We can talk about it. Next game. You know, I don't talk much about Ohio State, but they're ranked number two, and I always talk about Alabama. But I'm going to tell you, this kid Haskins, he's starting to get on draft boards, could leave early. We don't know. He's got great NFL size. You know, I don't know if he's got, the NFL arm. We'll see. They're going up against Purdue. Purdue's really down this year. But they got talent. They've got talent. If you watch a Purdue game, you'll see there's talent. I just they've been losing for so long. Just not sure, you know, they got the wherewithal to pull a big upset. And so they won't. So OHIO, the Buckeyes win this one easy. And I don't see Purdue ever even making this a contest. And it's funny because, you know, the Blue Bloods in college football kind of, even in their own conferences, they kind of get a layup game. I mean, this is kind of a patsy game. And so I think it's not a bye week, but I don't think Haskins is playing in the fourth quarter on this one. I got Ohio State winning this one relatively easily. So now, do they move in the first place? Well, I don't know. And that's my next game. Alabama and Tennessee. It's at Rocky Top. I've been to Rocky Top more than one time. They love, love Rocky Top. Smokey, the little dog that walks around, the mascot. I mean, they get it going. You know, they're out there now. Kids are, you know, underage drinking. It's wild. Alabama's used to walking into this environment. You know Saban's going to be really ready to go. I'm going to tell you what. I don't think I've ever not picked Alabama on this show. Now, Tua's healthy or somewhat healthy, so he's going to start the game. I know he didn't play much last week. Jalen Hurts played three quarters last week and did a fine job. But I tell you, I'm leaning towards Rocky Top real bad. I don't know why. I just funny feeling when I talked about those one-loss teams and the pay-attention topics, I'm going to do it. I think there's an upset in college football today that rocks the college football world. I think Rocky Top is going to be rocking. I think it's going to be close in the end, and I think Tennessee's the one who didn't shoot off their mouth about SEC officials like Mike Leach did in the Pac-12. I think Tennessee upsets Roll Tide in Alabama. That's right, you're hearing it here first. First time I've ever picked against Alabama in years. What's making me do that? Well, I think for the very reason I talked about the Ohio State game, it's easy to kind of overlook these teams. But these teams have talent. Nick Saban recruited or tried to recruit most of the kids that are on that Tennessee roster right now. So they got talent. And I think with a push from their home crowd and a little bit of luck in the fourth quarter, I think they win this game. So we'll see what happens. But I got Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top all day long. No Roll Tide. And that's going to shake up the college world. I hope I'm wrong. hope I'm wrong, but it sure makes for an interesting conversation of one-loss teams. Let me move over now to Auburn and Ole Miss. So Auburn hates Alabama. So if Alabama loses, they're going to be happy already. So since they'll be satisfied with that, I got them losing to Ole Miss. I've watched Ole Miss, good offense. Auburn's got a good offense as well, but I think Auburn trips up. I think the state of Alabama is going to be in tears tonight when it's all said and done. I'm going with Ole Miss. In the Big Brother Bowl, Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State so impresses me. They really, really do. I don't think they have better talent than Michigan, but they might be a better team than Michigan. But Khaki Pants is on a roll right now. I mean, he's rolling. He's winning. I can't bet against Khaki Pants. Not right now. Maybe when they get to Ohio State, maybe. But right now, he's trying to get his team groomed for that big slobber knocker against Ohio State at the end of the year. He's not going to lose this game. I got Michigan. And by the way, if you ever look at that Michigan defense, it's like a track team. These people are fast. Their defensive ends, their inside linebackers are so fast that I think Michigan State will just have it's nothing they can do with it. So I got Michigan in that one. And then finally, Skins Cowboys. So I went through the game. I gave you the keys to the game. I gave you some statistics. At the end of the day, I think the home team wins. That's right. I think the home team wins. The Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to be a home game for the Redskins. It'll be more Cowboy fans and more wearing their blue and their silver. And I just think right now, Jay Gruden, they were lucky to win last week. Let's not forget that. They were lucky to win last week. That luck runs out. The heat gets turned back on. Jason Garrett getting a little cooler. And the Cowboys get out of here with a win. When the Skins could actually pull away from the pack, they could pull away. Not going to happen. And, of course, I usually end with the Skins game. But, oh, by the way, I'm picking the Cowboys. And then I'm going to throw the Giants-Falcons in because that is the Monday night game. Two terrible teams. This is like the O'Connell-Ireton game. It's terrible. I do like Odell's quote when he said, hey, I respect Mr. Mara, of course, but we're on to Atlanta. And so I like that workmanship attitude, but they're going to lose to Atlanta. I got Atlanta in that one. They're not going to win. They're just not. Because he'll say that, and then if they don't throw him the ball midway through the first quarter, he'll go bang his head up against a kicking net. And that's not going to win you any football game. So give me Atlanta in that one. So, hey, two-minute warning, and it is exactly 2 minutes left in this show. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Extra Points Radio Show. Thanks to shout-out to Tony Kennedy and the Capitol Bowl and the Crab Bowl. If you want any more information, look for it on Facebook and Twitter. The two-minute warning is simple. It's really easy. I had an opportunity to go out and speak to two different churches in the past week, and the message was really the same. The message was, hey, if you're a young athlete out there and you don't have that father figure in your life, find one. It may be a coach. It could be the janitor at the local school. It could be a deacon at the church. It could be whomever, but go find one, because I can tell you the nuggets and the wisdom that they give you, they last a lifetime. Take it from someone who knows. So we look forward to seeing you next week, or not seeing you, but definitely hearing you next week on the Extra Points Radio Show. And until then, the Extra Point is up, and it is good.
Center, and it is gone. My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music, girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.